God. May I give glory to him who reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure many of us are doing different things during lockdown that we've perhaps not done before. Some of it subconsciously. I've become aware that as I watch the news, one of the things I look out for is good news. And it's there. It's there to be found. You have to wait almost to the end, but it's there. We found the example of Captain Tom and others in our locality who are providing meals, going around to homes, doing all sorts of things, making sacrifices that make a difference. In this week's news, I found two wonderful examples. I wonder how many of you saw the example of the little boy called Ahmed in the Yemen. A 9-year-old boy who, when he goes to school, often becomes the teacher and teaches. And you've probably all got an image of what a school is like in your heads. But if you've got it, throw it away, because it's nothing like that. There are no walls in this school, no chairs, no desks, no pens, no papers, very little of anything else. But there he is, teaching and making a difference. And what inspired me was that Ahmed is blind. He can't see what he's doing, but he's standing up and making a difference. And the lasting picture I have in my mind of Ahmed is where he and his sister, born blind since birth, have got their hands on the shoulder of a friend, and he takes them home, stumbling over the rocks in this war-torn country. And the second one was of a lady called Anne, who works in a college, and she has been disabled since birth. But in the most recent years, her disability has got worse. She's found it difficult to move, and there are days on end when she cannot speak. But in a meeting of some of the students there, they asked her, "What was your favourite book?" And her reply was, "I haven't got a favourite book, but I've got a favourite verse." And her favourite verse is found in Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it goes like this. "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And what Anne was saying was, is that she recognises that God has had a hand in her disability. And she is delighted and rejoices in what God has done. For she has a unique ministry ministering to those who are disabled. She, like them, reaches out and reaffirms to them how important they are to God. And as she says, she brings good out of bad. And she has changed people's attitudes to who the disabled are. She has made a real difference by her example. Are there people in the Bible who fit that verse? Well, the first example we can see in the Bible is Joseph. He fits that pattern spot on. And I wonder what he would have said to God when God revealed to him that he had been through all of the things he had been through so God could put him in this place. Would he have moaned? Would he have brought God's attention the pit into which he was thrown, tied behind camels as he was taken to Egypt, sold as a slave so he was meant to be worthless, and even when he obeyed God, thrown into prison again, just to reach that point? Is that what he says? No, it isn't. Because he recognises that God has shaped his experiences to bring him to the place where he is now. And what difference does that make? Well, you need to work out for yourselves how many lives Joseph saves. Because in collecting up the crops, how many Egyptians were saved? Thousands? More? Joseph's family is saved because of the food that he stores up. And what about the rest of the world and in the area that come to Egypt? He saves them in all things. God works for good. And Joseph rejoices in God's plan for him, because through him, through Joseph, through Jacob and his descendants, God is going to bless the people around him. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 7, Joseph says these words: "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And it's about the first time in the Bible that the word remnant has been used. A small group of people through whom God will bless. God's special people. Don't know about you, but my interpretation of remnant is a bit different. I can remember my grandmother going down to the remnant shop to buy some curtains. Why? Because she didn't have a lot of pennies. Remnant, that idea of the bit on the end of the roll that nobody else wanted. But that's the term that God uses. And if you read Isaiah, where the Babylonians and the Assyrians take them away, God promises that through this remnant, people, the earth will be blessed. God's plan runs through this remnant. Who are the remnant today? Well, I'm looking at them. It's you and me. We are God's remnant. Maybe small in number, but high in quality. We are the people through whom God will bless this world and inspire them. However, I like Paul's term for us. Paul calls us a royal priesthood. I think I prefer that over remnant. Some 500 years before Jesus' birth, Jeremiah becomes aware of God's new covenant, God's new relationship with his people. And Jeremiah sees that at the heart of this relationship, this new relationship with us, is this understanding of forgiveness, the very heart of what it is to be part of a community. And this understanding of forgiveness does away with animal sacrifice, because you can make a sacrifice without it changing your heart. You could buy a lamb or a dove and sacrifice it, and it meant nothing. But now this idea of forgiveness rings true. It involves a movement of the heart. It recognizes that perhaps both sides have to say, "Yeah, I got that wrong. I didn't do it entirely right." And the aim is reconciliation, living together. It's not about revenge. If you listen to Peter, Peter is all about revenge. "How many times should I forgive my brother, Lord? 490? And if you go along that tack, you're ticking them off. Number 371. When I get a few more, I'm going to take revenge." Jesus says that's not the way. It's not the way. You need to work towards reconciliation. Some Christians I know think Christians are soft because they always talk about forgiveness. And maybe to a point they have something to say. And sometimes we need to say how much someone has hurt us, what the damage was to us, to be up front and say, "That really can't happen again." And we need to be honest and say it, because we need to make a difference. Some people have compared forgiveness with breathing. We breathe in God's forgiveness. And when we breathe out our own forgiveness. But if we never breathe out, we never share that. And if you never breathe out, the consequences are actually not very good. Forgiveness is for us as a community. Let me share this final thought with you. Not long after I became a curate, I was sent into the wilds of Cornwall to do a regular monthly service. And I encountered Mrs. Smythe, a formidable church warden. And the first Sunday I was there, I was cornered in the vestry, bless her. And she made it clear to me, why did we always have to say a confession at the start of our services? Did I not know that she was not known to going to orgies, being drunk or being on drugs? Well, if you had known Mrs. Smythe, you'd have to agree with her. She would have done none of those things whatsoever. That was not for her. So the next time I was there, I talked about God's high expectations for us, of the things God would like to see us do. And it's not necessarily the things that we've done that we need to say sorry for. Perhaps it's the things that we haven't done. One wise cleric said to me quite recently, if I asked someone to come and clean the church toilets, there'd be a lot of people who suddenly go deaf. Well, I think that's true. I can't see many people on my screen at the moment who need to say sorry for being drunk in an orgy or being on drugs. At least I think so. But perhaps what we do need to say is, Lord, yeah, we're not very good at grasping the opportunities that you put before us. Because opportunities there are. And you prepare them for us. And sometimes we grow deaf or we lack the courage to take them. So create in me a clean heart, O God, that I may grasp with two hands all the opportunities that you have prepared for me and for you. Amen.